This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm delighted today to be sitting down with Chris McBarnes, who is president of the Wildlife Fund. Some of you may have noticed the sign on Main Street in your building there. It's got a nice big sign. We can see where you are, but I'm not sure many people know what the Wildlife Fund does. So before we get into what we're really here to talk about, maybe you'd just like to introduce that to people who are not familiar with the fund.
Yeah, Kate. No, and I appreciate you coming by. I appreciate 307 Net Radio's presence in the community. I know I enjoy listening to all of your broadcasts. Yeah, the Wildlife Fund, we unite people to advance Wyoming wildlife habitat, research, and education. We're a new outfit, a small outfit. We'll be 3 years old on March 9th of this year. So I was employee one. I started on March 9th of 2020. The pandemic blew up about 2 weeks after I opened the doors to the Wildlife Fund. So I like to say that we were born in the fire of COVID. If we can get through that, we can get through about anything. But I'm very passionate about what we do. The Wildlife Fund is a nonprofit 501c3 by tax designation. We were created by the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission and Department back in the year 2019 is when we were given tax exempt status. The reasoning behind the NGO, the Wildlife Fund, was
NGO,
non-governmental organization.
Thank you.
Just a fancy way of saying 501c3 in reality. But the commission had several donors, partners approach them over the years and the department in wanting to help advance on-the-ground wildlife projects across the state of Wyoming that aligned with the mission of Game and Fish. But with the bureaucracy of government, it was very hard to take those dollars and get them where they needed to go. And so the Wildlife Fund was born.
Okay.
So we act as the nonprofit arm and a nonprofit partner of the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission and department. So I work with donors across the map, across Wyoming, across the country, who love Wyoming's wildlife, who want to engage youth and get youth in the outdoors. And then we bring those dollars in and we invest them wisely on the ground to advance wildlife and inspire the next generation of outdoor enthusiasts. There's a ton of great nonprofits across this state, whether it be Muley Fanatics or Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation or the Nature Conservancy. We're not here to replace any of those. We're actually here to help synergize their efforts, augment their efforts, so that we can get more done for wildlife. And in a lot of instances, when those groups want to give to a particular project that the Game and Fish Department is driving, we will help facilitate those grant agreements and that giving through our organization and then surgically get those dollars to where they need to go. So we're helping with those processes and we're exploring opportunities to bring new resources to Wyoming, new modes of funding that would have otherwise been unrealized. So although we're young, I see the importance of the Wildlife Fund in Wyoming's future. What we've gotten done in the past 3 years, which we're going to talk about, I think is exemplary and something that's just been born out of hard work. And I really look forward to the future of this organization and what it's going to do for Wyoming's wildlife.
Thank you. That's a very useful explanation of what it is and what you do. Can I ask, as a follow-up to that, what is your agenda? How is your agenda set? You have this affiliation, you know, partnership step with Game and Fish, but how do you identify projects and programs that the Wildlife Fund is going to engage in?
Excellent question. So it's mostly driven by the commission and the department. So their top priorities are our top priorities, which we're going to be talking a lot about wildlife crossings today. And in the past 3 years, wildlife crossings have been a top priority of the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission and department. So we've been focused on that. That being said, you know, we listen to constituents across the state of Wyoming. So we have a microgrant program right now that we budget around $20,000 a year. We give up to $2,500 per microgrant, and organizations can reach out to us. So I just had an organization out of Teton County yesterday reach out to me that's very interested in beaver relocation and what beavers can do to improve riparian habitats across the state. And I was like, man, that makes sense. And then exploring it with Game and Fish, it's also a priority of theirs. So now we're working with that group to see what we can do with beaver relocation. So we're very open to suggestions that all people have in Wyoming because that's what drives the Game and Fish Department, right? Those people
right.
who buy hunting licenses and fishing licenses So yes, we do take a lot of direction from the department and the commission, but we want to hear from everybody who calls Wyoming home and loves wildlife, because their agenda is our agenda.
So typically we think of, you know, in Wyoming, in our Wyoming way, we think of wildlife as hunting, but it's so much more than that, and you touched on some of those things. We're sitting down because we wanted to talk about something, a project you have, which is called the I-25 Buffalo to KC Wildlife Crossing Project. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can explain what that is and why it's necessary.
Yeah, so first I think I'd love to highlight some data just in regards to wildlife vehicle collisions across the state, economic impacts, and why these projects in general are so very important. Dr. Karina Reginos of the Nature Conservancy was funded by the Knobloch Family Foundation to conduct a study around this matter. And she found over a five-year average, there's approximately, the last 5 years, roughly 8,000 big game animals struck on our roadways each and every single year in Wyoming. Now, conservatively, we could probably double that number, because many of the carcasses that collide with vehicles are not found. They'll go off the roadway several miles or several hundred feet, and no one will know about them. So when I say 8,000 a year, just know that we could put a multiplier effect on that by probably
two. So when you say big game, what are you counting in there? Deer, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're all very familiar with deer on vehicle collisions. Some of us have actually experienced that too. So there's deer, and what else?
Elk, deer, moose, pronghorn are the main, you know, those are the main big game species that I'm referring to. But then also there's a lot of other critters. I mean, I think we've all driven down the roadway and seen a carcass on the side of the road and seen three bald eagles, mm-hmm. or a golden eagle.
That's a very familiar spot, especially this time of year.
Exactly. So, you know, these numbers that I'm referring to don't even take into account, you know, these other forms of wildlife, such as eagles, birds, smaller animals that are being struck.
And so you've got some data about the number of animals, probably underreported, underestimated. Yeah. What do we know about the way in which those collisions happen? Mm-hmm. And are there particular areas of the state that are much, where those are more likely to happen than others?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Game and Fish and the Wyoming Department of Transportation, they've done a great job of working with nonprofits, non-governmental organizations over the past 5 years to really strategically pinpoint where areas of highest priority should be, right? I mean, we all drive down the road and see a deer, but when you're talking about these multi-million dollar projects, there needs to be a lot of thought put into them.
Well, you want to put the money where you're going to get the most efficacious result. You're going to see the biggest return, right?
Exactly. So, you know, working with the Wyoming Migration Initiative, for example, from the University of Wyoming, what Game and Fish has done, they pinpointed these key areas of migration, where these wildlife vehicle collisions are happening at the highest rate, working hand in hand with WIDOT, and they've come up with a strategic plan of ranking these projects across the state in the areas of most need. And so based on those numbers that I gave you, and their conservative numbers, 8,000 big game animals a year, that equates to 21 collisions a day. And over a period of a year in regards to cost, that's about $55 million a year. And that number, $55 million, takes into account human injury. It takes into account damage to your personal vehicle. And it also takes into account the wildlife economic impact. Because as we know, outfitters across the state of Wyoming, small businesses like the sports lure here in Wyoming, all of these parts of our economy depend on healthy wildlife herds. So there's actually an economic number put on each head of each deer or elk or moose that is hit, and that all equates to around $55 million a year that it's costing the state of Wyoming and its citizens.
That's a significant chunk of change. It really is. So the Buffalo to KC stretch of road, obviously I'm guessing you're going to tell me that it's been identified as a priority area. Mm-hmm. What have you been working on in that for that stretch of road?
Yeah, so a group called the Wyoming Wildlife Roadways Initiative met back in the year 2017, a group of public and private stakeholders, and they ranked, you know, the top 10 projects across the state based on all the things that you and I just talked about. The Buffalo to KC stretch came up in that top 10. The only other wildlife crossing project that's ongoing in the state of Wyoming right now is in the western part of the state between Big Piney and LaBarge. Past that project, this was the top priority project of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. So when I hit the ground in 2020, I was told, Chris, this is the big one. This is the second deadliest stretch of roadway in the state of Wyoming for wildlife. A lot of people are being hurt on this stretch of roadway. We need a solution. So the solution was to build approximately 36 miles of fencing, 18 miles of fencing on each side of the road between Buffalo and KC, starting at mile marker 253.
Which is roughly where?
Just north of KC.
Okay.
Just north of KC, heading to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of this project is it's not a $30 million project because it's utilizing existing underpasses and existing infrastructure that's already in place.
Okay.
And so leading up to this point in time in 2020, Dr. Michael Houchere from the Western Transportation Institute had been running a camera study on these six existing underpasses. And so basically what that means was he was putting game cameras at these underpasses, and they were collecting data looking at deer mainly coming up to these structures and then the amount of deer that approach these structures that would eventually go through them. And what,
so are underpasses a more risky place for a collision than on the open road?
Well, what I'm saying is those underpasses allow the wildlife to move from point A to point B.
So they're like alleyways?
They're alleyways.
Okay.
They're a funnel. It allows them to get underneath the interstate.
Right.
While cars zoom over the top.
Right.
And so what Dr. Houchere found was, he said, you know, 75% of the deer that are approaching these underpasses are utilizing them at incredible rates. And so it makes sense that if we build this big game exclusionary fence, which is 8 foot tall woven wire fence on each side of the highway, to direct wildlife to these six existing agricultural underpasses, those numbers are going to go up even higher.
So you're describing what is not a continuous fence, but what is a fence with passageway, which basically you can the deer or other game can only get through in designated areas, which are basically the underpasses.
Exactly.
So you're sort of funneling where they can go. They can't just leap across the interstate anywhere. So you are creating more concentrated traverses across from one side of the interstate to another, basically, utilizing the underpasses.
Exactly right. The exclusionary fence will go all the way up to that underpass, and then winged fencing will come out to kind of act as a funnel, and then those critters will be funneled to the existing agricultural underpasses. And then throughout the project, there will be what we call jump-out structures placed strategically. That way, just in case a deer or a pronghorn were to get in the right-of-way between the fencing, those pieces of infrastructure help the wildlife get back out.
Okay.
And Game and Fish and YDOT will continue to monitor that well after the project's over. So if we need to make any tweaks, we can do that. But yes, you're exactly right.
So 36 miles of fencing, that's a big fence project.
Yep.
How has it gone logistically? Are you going only on YDOT, on state land? What lines are you following? How far along are you in the process of this monster project?
Yeah, no. I believe it's all in YDOT right-of-way. And see, that's another great thing about this project. There's going to be no traffic disruptions. How many of us have driven down I-25 and it's like, oh man, they're paving, I got to slow down. And with these larger projects, when you're building overpasses and underpasses, there can be significant travel delays. But this model of wildlife crossing project utilizing existing infrastructure and underpasses, they'll be able to build that fencing on each side, and it won't cause you any travel delays, which is another, I think, model that of this particular project that's beneficial. In regards to where we're at in the process, this is a YDOT project, so last year all the money was secured between private and public funding. The Wyoming Department of Transportation put out a bid on the project. That bid process was followed through. And Mills Enterprises, or King's Enterprises out of Mills, Wyoming, won the bid, which is cool. All the money stays in the state. A contractor won that. It's approximately a $4.4 million project. And that construction will start this spring. And so construction will start this spring on that fencing, and the contractor has until November of 2024 to complete the project. Hopefully they'll be able to finish it sooner, but the thing to keep in mind is with the supply chain issues that we're facing as a nation right now, that's why YDOT wanted to give the contractor ample time to build the project.
Sure, got that. Thank you. So it's not in place right now, but fairly soon you'll be able to, if you're driving between Buffalo and KC, you may see work on it, and that's what's going on. And have you been able to tag or identify what you hope the net result, what the reduction of that $55 million price tag you described, what we might see as a reduction to that as a result of this project? Or is that too complicated a figure to be sure of at this point?
No, that could definitely be quantified. You know, right now they say we lose around 63 mainly mule deer there per year. Again, keep in mind, you could put a multiplying factor to that. That's incredibly conservative. But when you stick the economic impact of a mule deer, which is around $5,500 per mule deer that we lose, you could start backing into that number. And that's the cool thing about these projects with this economic data. You can actually do the math and say, this project will pay for itself in X number of years. Mm-hmm. So in 12 to 15 years, the I-25 project will pay for itself. You know, and the fencing will last much longer than that. So there is a return on investment on these projects. Not only do they keep people safe, but they keep our herds healthier. This particular project will impact the Powder River mule deer herd. The Powder River mule deer herd has been below objective for a number of years. So hopefully the individuals also recreating in this area, hunting, wildlife watching, over a period of years, they'll say, hey, you know, we're seeing more deer. And mule deer across our state, they've taken it on the chin. I mean, numbers are down significantly.
And
for
is
many
that that's
reasons.
Not just roadkill, though, is it?
That's, no, that's
there's chronic wasting and other issues that are impacting those herds. But anything we can do to help the herds stay large and healthy and viable improves hunting, which again turns the economy, does it not?
Exactly. And the thing about CWD is that is such a big, complicated situation that we don't have a good answer for. Science isn't there yet. It's going to take years and a ton of money. These projects, they make a difference immediately.
Right.
Immediately. The Nugget Canyon project outside of Pinedale, if you drive over there, you'll see an overpass has been built right outside of Pinedale. Hal Sawyer, a researcher in Wyoming, after that structure was built, did a study over a number of years and found that that project in and of itself is well over 80% effective. Over 40,000 wildlife used that structure over, I think, a time period of 3 years. So yes, there are other things, predation, disease, but what we can say about these projects, once it's up, it makes a difference on day one.
Okay. Well, thank you. Chris, thank you so much for explaining what this project is, the impact. I think we had no idea of, we tend to think of vehicle wildlife collisions as being a very personal experience and one which can be, you know, quite traumatic, both either physically for your vehicle or quite traumatic for yourself. You know, the impact can be quite difficult. But thank you for painting such a broad picture of this project and what its purpose is, and we look forward to seeing that. Before I let you go, I hear a little bit of a twang, which sounds a bit ironic maybe from me, but you're not originally from Wyoming. You're from Indiana, I believe.
Central Indiana, but I'm proud to call Wyoming home. I want to leave Wyoming in a box. That's the only way I'm leaving Wyoming.
Yeah.
my wife and I, we do have a true Wyomingite. We had Lincoln 2 years ago this June in Sheridan, so I do have a true Wyomingite in my home. But my wife and I, we love Johnson County. We love being a part of this community. There's not a better place we feel in the nation to be, Kate. And then just the last thing I want to say on I-25, the Wildlife Fund, we raised close to $400,000 for this project and unlocked several hundred thousand more through matching funds. But I want to say this. We held a golf outing, a grassroots effort here in Buffalo to fundraise specifically for this project. And there were so many local businesses and local people that came out and supported that golf outing, and 100% of those dollars went to this project.
Well, that's really nice to hear that local effort stays local. Thank you. And Chris McBarnes, thank you so very much. I hope that we can sit down again and talk about all the different programs and projects and involvements that the Wildlife Fund has in the months to come.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Check out thewildlifefund.org, and it's spelled W-Y-L-D. And yeah, we'll see you on the streets of Buffalo very soon.
Thank you, and I will post some links to this next to the audio that's we're going to post shortly. So thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate your time very much.